will know my name is the Lord when I lay my vengeance upon thee.
Oh, and welcome to a very special, very short, extremely unprepared, even by our standards, episode of Dome and Bedlam, the Lookout Landing podcast. I am Nathan Bishop, the managing editor of Lookout Landing, joined by my familiar two cohorts. I have David Skiba to my digital left. David.
Pew, 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 pew.
Finger guns for days. And to my digital right, Scott Weber, former editor and just freshly back from bathing himself in the glory of Canada. Scott?
Hi, I have Canadian stink all over me. Welcome back to America.
What is that? What does that smell like?
Like maple syrup and kindness.
Okay.
Kindness smell.
Pine trees up in the mountains. You guys, holy shit.
The Mariners. Stay holy. Die holy.
This was going to be a very different episode.
It was going to be dark as fuck.
It's still going to be a yell cast, because that's what I promised on Twitter. And I got lots of feelings. And I don't know how about you guys, but like, there's this weird, like, just the slow burn of watching the way the Mariners have been playing all week that has just led to this volcanic fury. And then Lee hits that walk-off today. And if you're joining us, you've seen now, Daehoo Lee hit a two-run 0-2 pitch, 97-mile-an-hour fastball just below his armpits out to left for a Mariner walk-off. And it's just this fury of emotion, but, like, totally not the emotion that you've been preparing to feel all week, if that makes sense. So what?
Sure.
Yeah, what? You guys, it's been a week.
Oh man, yeah. I remember the last time we recorded. Scott promised we'd be sitting here at 7-2.
Which
no, I didn't. I said 2-7.
Well,
we're better than I said.
In Britain, they reverse their dates. Like June 3rd is like 3-6 or something weird like that. I don't know how they did there. So that's what Scott was doing. He's very, very fancy.
It's proper.
Very proper. So the Mariners are 3-6. They even with that home run, I'm not looking at it right now, but I think they scored 9 runs on that homestand of 6 games.
That's pretty good,
right?
It was the shutout on I guess would be Tuesday that was just that's the one where it was like, oh, okay, so this is bottom, and no, we found another bottom, an even deeper bottom.
Yeah, I mean, that's the floor motto. If there's anything that's been the site motto for years, it's there is no floor. And, you know.
Yesterday felt like a floor.
Did you hit something on your way down?
Gosh, I can't believe I didn't. I just sat there and steamed. It was, man, so bad.
Yesterday, Tuesday's game was one of the all. Scott, were you able to watch that? I know you were traveling.
I didn't see a second of it.
It was one of the all-time classic. Just baseball is just 100% bullshit games. The Mariners hit the ball all over the yard, and the Rangers tracked everything down. The Rangers hit bloopers, ground balls through the hole. Then finally, Wade Miley threw a slider like 3 inches off the dirt, and Adrian Beltre golfed it into left field for a 3-run home run. It was just 9 innings of pure, unconcentrated bullshit. You could dilute that game with water and get a full, typical Mariners season of crap. That's how bad it was.
Yeah, it was just disgusting.
Concentrated juice.
Yeah, just
just put it in the old Vitamix and drink it for sustenance on a warm,
not even remotely
on a warm summer's day.
As my coconut water.
Are you drinking coconut water? Are you guys drinking right now?
Yeah, I'm drinking a beer.
Are we all drinking beer? Scott, what are you drinking?
I'm drinking the Hop Valley Citrus Mistress, brewed with grapefruit peel, although it just kind of tastes like a normal IPA, to be honest.
Do you think that's because everybody makes a citrus IPA now, or do you think it's just not a particularly citrusy IPA?
I just don't think it's that citrusy.
Yeah, it's just branding. We can respect that on the blog.
Hey, give me that grapefruit. Don't say you're going to give me grapefruit. I want that grapefruit.
I want to know where the grapefruit's at. That's a YouTube throwback. David, what are you drinking?
All right. I am working on the Fremont Sister Imperial IPA. And I opened up with the before we went on air, I had the a little bit of the Gosa from Evil Twin. It's like a spiced Gosa. It was just not good.
Yeah, I'm not a huge fan of their beer. I like their story, and I respect that the guy's a blatant asshole, unapologetically. But, you know, I've had some good ones from them, but they're just not my favorite brewer. How's the Fremont, though, the sister?
The Imperial's really good. Just, like, nice malt and, you know, a little sweetness and some big hops. So it's exactly what I was looking for.
It's your second beer already? It's 5:24 on a Wednesday evening.
Yeah, well, the club goes up on the Tuesday, so just roll with it, dude.
Just still rocking. I'm embarrassed now because I feel like we're wearing the same dress at a party. I am drinking the Fremont Interurban IPA. Fremont's good.
It's a classic.
It's good.
It is, yeah. I bought a six-pack on the way home and got into my car and turned on my radio and heard the are you guys familiar with this? This is the thing. We need to start developing, like, favorite Aaron Goldsmith-isms, not just because he's a friend of the broadcast, but because he's been around long enough. Like, did either of you hear his call on the radio today?
I did not.
It had this I got to come up with a good term for it because I don't know what it is, but he has this thing where the ball gets hit, and then you can tell a split second after it gets hit, he's like, oh, crap, something awesome is happening, and he, like, grinds his voice. So it's like a swing and a drive.
Yeah.
The meat grinder. He meat grinded.
Yes, the Goldsmith meat grinder. He put it through it. And that's literally...
It's like instead of, like, turning up the volume, he just, like, hits it and it pounces to 11 in a second, and then it stays at 11 for 2 seconds until it resumes back to 8 or 9.
Visualize Kevin Kremen, like, leaping to attention and desperately trying to turn the volume down on his mic so it doesn't redline. And a drive! Aaron, I love you. I'm sorry, that's a terrible impression of you.
It sounded a lot like him.
It was that was the first thing I heard when I got back in my car, and wow. Holy shit, you guys, the Mariners needed that so bad.
Oh gosh, you know what I'll say about the game today is I think, you know, lost in it will be a great Taiwan Walker start, but you know, going into the game with a 5-game losing streak, and pretty much, I mean, barring a kind of strange ending where a lot of errors go your way, it was one of those games where nothing seemed to, like, the tide never seemed to switch in the Mariners' favor.
Mm-hmm.
And it seemed like a really easy game to just let slip away. Like, you know, maybe Steve Cishek leaves one over and they, you know, Rangers hit a bloop bomb, like it seems like they've done every game. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we go on to 6 in a row. But it was just, you know, kudos to the team. It was really, it was a grinded out kind of game, even though it was a strange, oh God, all three games were so weird.
Yeah, the entire series was really bizarre. It really felt like they were playing on a tilted field, and they were the ones that were having to climb uphill, and the Rangers were rolling down. And I mean, that's not unprecedented. Like, good teams struggle, and baseball's a weird ass game. Like, stuff will happen like this. It's so hard to try to get people to understand at the very beginning of the year when everyone wants to pay attention to get so excited.
It's the timing of it that makes it so very, very complicated.
And it's
especially when, you know, we have a whole, like, influx of fans who are kind of buying in again because it's new, right? All right, I'm done with the Mariners until they fire Zaranzic, whatever. Here we are, we're back again. It's brand new. We've got a brand new team. You know, opening series, super excited, and then it just confirms all their worst biases and fears about this organization. And, you know, I know we're not going to get into this, like, disloyal fan conversation because fuck that. But it's still, like, infuriating to be someone that's not fair weather and watch everyone else just jump ship. Isn't it? I mean, we all have casual Mariner friends that come to us and or Mariner fan friends, they come to us and ask us for what we think about the Mariners.
Of course.
And I'm sure you guys have already had that conversation where someone comes in and it's like, what happened to these guys? God, they're the same. I thought they were supposed to be better. They were looking so good. Like, they don't understand sample size. They're never paying attention past August to begin with, you know, so...
And that's what's so hard when you're having that conversation with people. And this is kind of the realization I've come to this week, because this is my first April running the site, and Scott, you did it for a couple Aprils, but there are so many people that are paying attention in April that maybe kind of you casually lose as you go through your average Mariner season. But you know what you're experiencing with this from people is you want to argue with them and you want to point out the reasons that they're wrong, but they're not making a logical argument. What they're doing is they're bringing their passion for baseball and for the team and 15 years of frustration of losing into this week. And what do you say? I mean, they're not wrong. That is not wrong. I can completely understand that perspective. And even though it's not that people come at you with things like, hey, they're not trying, or the team only cares about winning, or Cano should be shipped off, he's not wearing this, blah, 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 blah. All that happens, but that's not really what they're saying. What they're saying is, I care about the Mariners, and God, I wish that they would give me a reason to be excited. That's all they're saying, you know? And, like, as frustrated as I – go ahead.
Well, people don't want to be right. Mm-hmm. I think that's it. You have so many fans that are pessimistic, and they don't want to be right. They're waiting to be proven wrong every single year, and yet this franchise has not given them the means to do so.
And even in 2014, they were 7-13. You know, they had that eight-game losing streak. Like, we talked so much about how, God, how great would it be if they could just get off to a decent start. And this season's far from over, especially
not even remotely.
Yeah, not even a little bit. It's 5% over ish today. So, it's just, God, you guys, one time, and not just getting off to a slow start, but coming home, like giving us hope in Texas, and then coming home, and then just, I really want to hit the ball, but I cannot stop urinating on my own leg. I'm so sorry. It's really hard to do both at the same time, and I can't stop urinating. It's really difficult.
Yeah, and that's what – I mean, you know, we've started at Lookout Landing tracking, the Jerry's equation, which if you read the site frequently, you've seen what that is. It's the addition or the summation, I suppose, of Mariner walks and Mariner pitcher strikeouts subtract Mariner strikeouts and opposing pitcher – I mess this up.
Wow, whatever. This sounds complicated.
It's really simple.
But I always tongue-tie myself here. Either way, it's this idea of, control the zone in the macro sense. And
yeah, it's a very basic started tracking to quantify control the zone.
And we've already seen it. You know, the theory would be if it ends up positive for the Mariners that, we win the game. But so far we've seen it just fail in our faces, and it feels so just wrong. And it's hard to imagine that, but since the last time we recorded, we had a home opener with a record crowd.
Opening series with over 100,000 people. I mean, part of that's that, they don't open on a Friday, Saturday, Sunday very often, and the weather was just perfect.
It was mint. It was totally mint.
Yeah, but
But still, like, I went on Sunday, and I was shocked how many people were there. Yep, we all went on Sunday. Went on Sunday.
Yeah,
we
went lost
on Sunday together, the three of us, Dome and Bedlam in this house. And it was a shocking amount of people.
Yeah, like, it was incredibly packed.
Scott, you talked about this last week, and it's true that this city wants to love the Mariners. There is this entire, like, look at this region as it's continued to explode. It is the only Major League Baseball team for whatever, however many hundred miles in any direction. You've got to go to Minnesota to the east, Colorado to the southeast, and San Francisco to the south. There's this entire region that already loves itself and considers itself like its own little kind of quasi separate nation from the rest of America. And they want the Mariners to be their team. And I think that what you see is just people, when people stop showing up and stop talking, it's not that they don't care. It's that it hurts too much. It's almost like they care too much. There's no apathy. It's just, I can't look at you right now. It's like that child that's disappointed so much. It's like, I disown you. You are no longer my son.
You should be in Harvard.
Seriously, we gave them every opportunity, these Mariners, and all they've done is just, gone out with their friends and smoke reefer, drink beer, skip class for years now, and people are fed up with it.
When this franchise becomes not the Mariners, it's going to be amazing. That's what the city's waiting for. They're waiting for the Mariners to not be the Mariners.
It's true. I mean, I think all three of us have experienced, the Mariners Twitter sphere is, as of last night, the angriest we've ever experienced.
It's just dark. It's real dark.
And it's not because, yeah, it was really dark. And it's not because the town is not a baseball team. It's because the town cares so much about the baseball team, but they've never given them any reason to have belief for 15 years. Yeah. So it's just, it's like, how often can you care about, you know, someone who you love and just have them continually disappoint you before it's finally just like, you know what? Like, it's over.
Yeah, and I think it was
it
was contributor Eric Blankenship, who we love on the podcast and on the site. He pointed out that I'll butcher the exactitude of the stat, but it was something like from 95 to 2003, the Mariners averaged 91 wins, and every other season in their 40 years, they have averaged 72. Like, oof. That's like 80% of their history, they've averaged 72 wins a year. And it's getting to the point now where you're stretching generations. Like, David, your generation has no reason to think the Mariners can ever be good. Like, maybe you remember it as a kid, almost like a fairy tale, but you've never lived through that with any sort of
real
experience.
Which makes it all the more remarkable that you're here being such a loyal fan and you still have optimism. It makes your optimism very unfounded.
Well, David does drink a lot.
It's true. I drink a lot. And I can't imagine, frankly, anyone in my generation who didn't play baseball caring about baseball. Because the reason I care about the Mariners is because my entire life was devoted to playing baseball. So it's like, all right, yeah, I'll go watch the best of the best in my local town play ball. And obviously I'll feel, you know, an attachment to them. But frankly, you know, when I went off to college in Minnesota and I was playing football, like, I checked out almost. And then when I was in California is when I started plugging back in when we get Cano. But I can't – I mean, just kudos to everyone for holding on to the ship. And at the same time, don't be the guy who thinks they deserve a medal for, like, how sad it's been.
Oh, yeah. This is a thing. This needs to stop,
like,
right now.
This is an outrageous point of view to have where it's like, I've suffered and I know what it's really like to be a Mariners fan. Like, either tune it off or just, like, cut the noise. Find something that makes you happy.
Here's what you can do. Here's the thing. You don't get a medal for watching the Mariners, and I know that they suck. Guess what? We all know that they suck. Your perspective is not unique. And if you choose to watch this team knowing that they suck, don't feel like you just have to, like, are wearing this as a badge of honor. It's not a purple heart, okay? Like, don't tweet at me telling me how bad the Mariners are, okay? I promise you I have watched more Mariner games than you have. And I very rarely take this stance because I don't want to make my perspective unique. I swear to God I have watched more Mariner games than you, unless you are, like, 50 years old. And if you're 50 years old and listening to this, then God bless you because you are a unicorn. But, like, do not.
And also, how'd you get on the internet?
Yes. Also, thank your daughter for putting you on the internet and hooking that up for you.
Really not who we're looking for.
Yeah. And this is what I wrote, and I think, like, I really hate the comparison and talking about the crossover between Seahawks and Mariners fans. But seriously, like, before the Seahawks – yeah, let's talk about that really quick. Before the Seahawks won – you have to understand, if you've lived in this town and watched this team, success, you aren't owed anything for being a fan of a sports team. Nothing. Sure. You don't get anything for it. All you get is to be a fan of your team and watch them play. And we are in Seattle uniquely suited to understand what a privilege just that is, because we have one fewer team than a lot of us grew up with. So, seriously, the Mariners are bad. We get it. You do not have to yell at us about it. End of rant. We still appreciate your passion, sometimes.
And your
readership. Please come to lookoutlandy.com.
Yes. Follow us for more insight. Good God. Okay, guys, let's do a quick thing here. Let's play a quick game before we take a break, because I'm out of beer.
Oh, I like games.
I would like another one. This one we're going to talk about being concerned or just small sample size over stuff that happened in the past week, okay? So I'm going to start with Scott. Scott, the offense. Are we concerned about it, or is this just kind of like a fluky thing that's going on?
Small sample. I'm not worried.
No? Not even a little bit?
I mean, I've seen concerning things, but as a whole, I'm not really worried. And what's the upside here? Am I worried that this is going to be a bottom five offense? No, I'm not. I think this is a middle of the road offense, and I think it'll bounce back to that. The truth always lies somewhere in the middle, right? It's yep. not what it was in Texas, and it's not what it is here, yep. and everything will even out. But no, I'm not. I'm not super like guys like Marte. I think there's some alarming things that I've seen from Marte, and you talk about sophomore slump and things that could happen there. He looks bad. Adam Lind looks horrible. Still, he looks absolutely horrible.
Yeah. Hey, that single the other way 5%, was a good sign.
Yeah, 5% of the season.
I'm the guy though
that will tout that, and then all of a sudden it'll be 50 games into the season, and it's like, okay, we might have a problem here, and it's been too long. So
I've been telling everybody to shut up for so long, now I can't turn around yeah. and say it's okay now.
God yeah, damn it. Brad Miller could still hit
so this funny. Season. Kettle Marte has been legitimately atrocious, and he's hitting his WRC plus is like 5 times as high.
Yeah,
as
what is didn't you tweet out that's 21 and Brad Miller's is -21 right now?
I may have done yep. that. That was may yesterday. Have called me a dick for that.
That was
times
very
have changed.
Very rude.
Very rude.
I'll just say really quick about the offense. I mean, as of live, stats right now, up date at 5:40 on Wednesday, the Mariners are the league middle offense. They're 15th out of 30, and you know, you're talking about a team that still has the lowest batting average ball in play in the entire league. Their WRC plus is actually 97. Mm-hmm. That would be third in home runs because the Giants and the Rockies both have 17, and the Orioles are at 14 with the Mariners. So, you know,
it's recency bias. Yeah, right now sure. That's what it is.
And I mean, small sample size. Yeah, we exactly. only have
it's small samples plus. Plus recency bias, and
about a league where Tyler White is currently the best player in the major leagues.
He's a baller, though.
Shot caller.
Embrace your new Astro, your Astors overload, David.
Thank God they got rid of Chris Carter, because Aaron Carter is the one who throws the real parties, baby.
You know, I think we're all on the same page there. Like, there's a lot of process with this offense that we're really excited about. Sure. I wrote about today that the BABIP on this team is the lowest in baseball by something like almost 30 points, and it's like 60 points lower than the 2010 team was, which was arguably the worst offense in the history of baseball.
Yes.
Like, before we really know what it is that we're concerned about, and Scott, I agree with you, there's like little parts of it that are, you know, individual components that are making my ears stand up. I would say that, like, I've been joking around calling just Seth Smith dad, but what Seth Smith really is he's like 80s movie dad who's like going around with like 3 buttons unbuttoned and like
gets works you
one
drugs.
Job, but he's still, yeah, exactly. But you know who real dad is? That's Adam Lind. And he just shows up. Oh. And he's just like, brah, kicks in the door, and he's had a couple beers, and he's just yeah. like,
let me fix the motor.
Say, I got yeah. laid off today. Why don't you make me dinner? Don't give me no gruff. So, yeah, that's the difference. Seth Smith is movie dad. Adam Lind is real dad. And
well, I want to say right now, just to finish up on the offense, right now the Mariners are the league lowest batting average ball in play, and they're 20 points below the Tampa Bay Rays. And the Tampa Bay Rays are rolling out Logan Morrison and Brad Miller as full-time starters.
Just a couple of sucks.
What? Come on, guys.
The suckiest bunch of sucks that ever sucked.
All right. Half of that is true. Half of that is true. You guys are mean as shit with the
middle stuff. Hey, let's talk bullpen. Let's get a little
Logan real. Morrison David, is worse than Brad Miller so far.
I will
negative 0.4.
And overall, just as a baseball player, I won't argue that point.
Hey, I was at Brad Miller's debut. It was like a touching moment for me. I like the guy.
Yeah, that's the thing. They're both bad, and I like both of them.
Yeah.
Hey, go Clemson.
Roll Pig Tiger.
Roll
Tiger. Wait, oh yes! What an awesome accidental thing. Pig Tiger.
Yeah. Is that like the Razorbacks? Is that like Roll Arkansas?
Is that a pig tiger? Gig'em Razorbacks. Is that not correct? Hook'em Razorbacks? Is that what they say?
I think so.
Roll damn Razorback?
Roll damn Razorback. Roll damn tree cardinal.
War damn back.
In the jungle. Or in the bayou.
We should just riff off of SEC fight slogans. For the rest of the show.
Dabo Sweeney.
Dabo Sweeney wants you to get some Jesus, and also he'll take that test for you. It ain't no trouble at all.
Guys, we're gonna end up back on hating at Steve Spurrier in a second.
let's talk about something that I think might be a little bit more like a little more middle ground. I'm gonna start with David this time. David, sure. Are you worried about the bullpen? They've given up a lot of big dingers already and have not had a lot of opportunity to lock down games, but the few they've been given, they've kind of spit the bit. How are you feeling about the bullpen?
You know what? For me, the bullpen's twofold. It's the current bullpen versus what the bullpen will theoretically be by July 1st.
Yeah.
The current bullpen.
What do you see as different? What do you see as different? Sure. So, I'm just curious. Are you counting guys like Ryan Cook as being a part of that? Like, what do you see?
I don't know. See, I didn't see enough of Ryan Cook in spring to know what's up with him. But I know Scrib, and I think, you know, getting Scribner back into this bullpen will be huge. What I've seen out of Zick and out of Montgomery both looks, granted, very early, 9 games in, looks really locked down. Cishek finally came in and pitched 2 innings today that looked just, you know, absolutely masterful. So
yeah, his 10th was great. Strike out the side.
Oh, gosh. And, you know, he was jazzed on it, too. And the stuff that he was getting knocked for is – Or I guess the issue with the bullpen so far has been, you know, one missed pitch that somehow every time has been hit out for a solo shot.
Right.
But the home run
fly ball ratio is very normal right now from the bullpen in general. It is normal. I think it's just been the timing that's really seems so frustrating.
And I do think some of the usage has been strange in the last, especially this Rangers series. But granted, you know, what has Scott Servais really had to work with the last 2 games before this one? And I'm frankly, you know, long story short, I'm not concerned, to be honest. And going into the season, I mean, you've heard me say a bunch of times, I never really worry about bullpens, but I actually think this bullpen has the chance, the ceiling of being a really lockdown bullpen.
They flash stuff. There's stuff.
I mean, Montgomery is legit, dude. That arsenal plays so well, especially if he's granted the ability to just need to throw one inning. Like, imagine Montgomery having all his pitches available for 15 pitches in the 7th.
I think that's his ideal usage at this point.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Scott, do you have anything to add on the bullpen?
Yeah, one thing that's for me that's interesting, obviously, bullpen is already small sample size. You could look at an entire season of relievers and it's still small sample size.
Definitely.
And here we are and we've got, I don't know how many innings from the bullpen. We're probably at like 20 innings total from the bullpen.
Yeah.
But combined, their Sierra, if we're talking about batted ball profiles and ERA estimators and things like that, it's the 4th best in baseball.
Yep.
So while the results have been painful, especially because of the timing, it's really the timing. It's really the solo shots that have lost games or have tied things up. I think that is a stickler in the back of the mind right now. Yeah. But, you know, for the most part, I think it's been okay. I actually think it's been okay. And I'm not super concerned right now. I think that as we go forward, we're going to see these situations change where the Mariners are not always playing in these like 2-1 games where one swing of the bat is catastrophic. And I think we'll stop noticing while the results will maybe stay the same. And that's, you know, that's what's it. I mean, dude, Nick Vincent, he's been awesome. When Benoit comes back, I'm not worried about Benoit. I think Cishek had one very no good, terrible pitch that was not good. Nuno has been fine. Zick has been used very, very weirdly, so I don't know what's going on.
But it's so live.
Zick has 10 strikeouts in 6 innings. His 10 strikeouts in 6 innings. And we talked about Montgomery.
He's 3 figures, I mean, that guy's throwing some stupid stuff.
So I don't know what's going on. You know, and this is also, like we talked, it's a learning process for Scott Servais, too.
Yeah, I think that's one of the big storylines.
He's figuring out who he is. Not only is Servais learning how to manage, he's learning the personnel on this team,
this roster.
It's two things right now, and I actually think we talked about this before on one of the early podcasts that this would probably happen while Servais has to figure out what he's got. That like the first month, like it could be rough when we talked about the bullpen. Like it could be rough for the first month, but I think as things settle in and roles are defined, I mean, I'm not one that's like super big on roles, and I think that you should be using Zik as like your, for me, Zik, the perfect way to use him, and I guess we can segue into this, is you use him as your stopper, right?
Yeah.
You don't use him as your
high leverage, comes in with guys on base, game on the line or something, yeah, exactly. Like, or 3-4-5 is coming up for the other team.
You need a strikeout. You need to leave some runners on base.
And that's been
and that's why it's so weird that Zik has thrown more innings in the bullpen than anybody.
But they're low leverage.
Yes.
Yeah, I don't get that. The guy who should have the most innings pitched in the bullpen right now is Nuno.
Yep.
And he's got 2 innings pitched.
I totally agree. And I think that that's been one of the things that goes hand in hand with my commentary on the bullpen. And I think both of you nailed it. But I think you're also right that, you know, those solo home runs, those are not big deals if they don't go hand in hand with a Mariner offense that is just kicking itself in the face every single time it swings the bat. And as soon as this offense starts to regress back to something along the lines of what we think it is, bullpens giving up solo home runs aren't going to be nearly as big of a deal. It's fine. But the big mystery to me, and, you know, I talked about this on the radio today on a station, was this idea of Scott, like you mentioned, Scott Service's learning curve. And we try to laugh off the locker room and all this other stuff, but if you're Scott Service and the team goes out to acquire Steve Cishek and Joaquin Benoit, even if you think that Mike Montgomery and Tony Zik could be your 8-9 guys, and I think that by the end of the season, there's a decent chance that something like that may happen. How do you go to your clubhouse and say, hey, these vets that we acquired to do these jobs, I'm benching them? Because that's not how baseball clubhouses work.
They already did the video package for Cishek.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Which, by the way, is the worst.
The lights are programmed to dim.
It is the worst video package. Although we did see it during the day, and everyone's saying at night, it's like pretty it was impressive. Cool.
You get a seizure.
At night, you know, I was there at the opener. At night, if I could have heard the music along with it, I think I would have felt the jazz.
is that what actually is played? I had had a couple beers. Is it jazz that plays when he comes?
It's actually the sax guy.
Kenny G?
It's actually the theme from Homeland.
But you guys, I mean, he needs time not only to figure out for himself what he thinks the best relievers are, he needs to let his relievers show enough to the team and to him where when he makes a move and he changes a role, that it's accepted in the clubhouse. Yeah. Because that's a real thing, as much as we would rather it not be and just pretend that this is fantasy baseball. But like, if you're going to take Steve Cishek out of the closer role when that's what you signed him to be, you have to have a reason to do it. And you have to have a guy that's obviously deserving of that role. So the big concern that I have is like Scott mentioned, if you're not going to use Tony Zik as a closer, fine, but quit using him as a mop-up guy. I would have killed to have had him in the games today instead of Benoit.
Really nice.
But he had thrown 45 pitches or something in the last two games, and both which were Mariner blowout losses. And it's like, quit using this guy in this. And that's something he needs to learn. That's first week on the job manager stuff.
Well, and what and I,
he,
what I
he'll
will
learn.
Say for,
he will learn.
Yes. He will learn. And what I will say for we'll Scott Service will make him learn.
Yeah.
For Scott Service, 9 games in, you know, you can, you know, laugh off the players only meeting last night all you want. But what that says to me is he has that clubhouse, because that isn't the players all looking around like, oh, you know, how is he managing us to this, you know, this horrible streak to start the year? That's the players being like, hey, listen, we have every means of winning, and it's on us, guys. Like, we got to get this together, because Scott Service is doing it right. You know, his media interviews, they look right. Sure, he's done some strange pinch hitting moves, but he's giving guys a chance to prove themselves. He's not hiding Luis Sardinas. He's not hiding Dai Ho Lee. He's letting Mike Montgomery have high leverage innings. He's got a roster of 25 guys. And he's saying, I trust every one of you. Now get it done.
Yep. I don't have anything.
Do your job.
Yeah, I don't have any disagreement with that. He's been let down, but the players have let him down, not vice versa, to the large extent.
Yeah.
So there's been first week on the job manager issues, but that isn't why the team is sitting at 3-6. And holy shit, it's so close to being 2-7.
Yeah.
But also keep in mind how close it is to being 6-3.
No, I mean, I'm on Twitter, and I'm mad.
Yeah.
I'm mad at you, blogger of the Mariners.
It is my fault, and it also is my fault that they have 3 1-run losses.
Yes, absolutely. They're now they're still 0-3 in 1 run games because Dejos was a 2 run.
It was a 2 run.
Got it. Okay, you guys, I need another beer, and then we can transition into anything. Do you guys want to add any stuff on the first week recap?
Sure. Let's take a break.
The only thing I was going to say real quick is I was just interested to hear what you guys thought of Nick Vincent so far.
Oh, man.
I mean, the guy's given up one hit, and it was a homer, but he's given up
that
one hit.
That has a chance to be innings. A trade.
He's got 6 strikeouts. Yeah. I mean, is this the guy that's, you know, we've talked about a lot of different options. Benoit's the 8 guy and stuff like that. But I think at least for now, out of what we've seen, I think that he should be in the Peralta role. And Peralta should move back down. Like, I really would have liked to see Vincent pitching today instead of Peralta in that situation.
No, I mean, Nick Vincent has a chance to be the guy who, in September, when, you know, let's have this, you know, imaginary moment where we're rolling and it's September. Nick Vincent has a chance to be the guy where it's like, oh, my God, like Jerry DePoto made a slick move. And that guy is locking it down.
Yep.
How they got him. Do we know who the player to be named
was? I don't. I was going to ask you guys. I have no idea who that player to be named.
I mean, why? I don't get why.
I think they're still creating him in a lab somewhere, so they don't want to give him a name yet. But yeah, no, that's a thanks, Padres. You guys are bad.
We'll see what happens.
How do you give that arm up?
Well, you don't need him because
too many, I guess.
Because you got Rodney, baby.
Is he out of options? Is that why that happened?
Probably, yeah. That would be my assumption.
I mean, you look at his numbers, and it's kind of shocking that this guy has spent as much time in the minors over the last 4 years than...
I think he could be I'm totally with you. I have loved what I've seen from him. The stuff doesn't amaze me, but the location and the movement on the breaking stuff is definitely something that I can see being at least tough as against a righty. And if you're going to, you know, if you're going to want to build a righty-lefty death to hitters combination, Monty from the left and Vincent from the right. It's all conjecture and upside still. It's 9 games, but it's hard to not really love that trade. And now it's just a matter of getting Service to trust it and to put that into more high-level situations.
I'm excited, and we can go into the break with this, but I'm excited to head to New York off of a rest day. And, you know, the weird-ass series with the Rangers behind us, so much strange, fluky, you know, BABIP stuff happened, and to have the bullpen on full rest and to see how it's utilized. Because right now, there are some really, really fascinating arms in there. But, I mean, like I said earlier, July 1st, that bullpen could have 7 guys in it who every one of them, it's like, dude, this guy is going to come in, throw some crazy stuff, and just be so fun.
Mm-hmm. I think there's definitely the upside for that. Whether it happens or not,
I'm just looking forward to like knowing what we have with this bullpen a little bit more. You know, the early games are fun because you don't know what's going to happen. Like, hey, today 0-2 count, walk off home run for a guy that hasn't looked particularly great at the plate. Like, that's amazing. He swings at it, the ball's at his chin. That's awesome. But it is also fun to really follow this team through the year and like see the development and see more known quantities emerge from these bullpen as much as you can in a bullpen, because, you know, they can blow up in any one particular second and then they'll never be the same again. I'm just looking forward to knowing more defined roles so that when someone comes in, we know exactly what that guy's all about and what to expect a little bit more than right now, which is just like, sure. Yeah. Peralta. Yeah. All right.
Let's see.
Whatever. He's 40. Sure. It could be great. Who
I've
knows?
I've seen 40 pitches.
Yeah. 40 is the new 30. It's fine.
40 is the new 30.
It really is, which makes me 24. All right.
It's a good year.
That's, it makes David 14, which in some ways is about right.
All right.
Yeah. All right. I'm going to get another Fremont IPA, and then we'll do some Twitter questions and or other ridiculousness when we get back from the break. So hold on. Be kind to me, or treat me mean. I'll make the most of it. I'm an extraordinary machine. If there was a better way to go, then it would find me. But the road just rolls out behind me. Be kind to me, or treat me mean. I'll make the most of it. I'm an extraordinary machine. Oh, thank God for beer. I've got a full one. And we're back. And we're going to close out this episode, which is going to be a short one because we have no guest, with a little Twitter Q&A. Thank you so much, you guys, who tweeted at us with questions at Lookout Landing or at Scotty Weebs or David, Skiba Scuba Shop. At Skiba Scuba Shop. That's what it is. I forgot. Sorry. David, what are the questions that we got? Give us the first one. Which one are you picking?
So the first one we got coming in is Kyle Rancourt, who I think has tweeted us a couple of questions before. So thank you very much for your
participation. Shout out, Kyle.
Good job, Kyle.
Thank you, Kyle. Sweet Kyle.
Best Mariners. Kyle associated with the Mariners right now. Shots fired.
Ooh.
Go ahead, David.
Mariners will win a World Series, but in order to do so, they have to trade Felix to the Angels. Do you do it?
That's easy. That's not even – I don't even hesitate for a second.
Yeah.
Fuck Sorry. That.
Bye. Ooh. Bye.
No. Whoa. Bullshit. Any other team is totally fine. Fuck
we
the
have
Angels.
Dissent. We
Fuck
have
them
dissent.
So much. And if there's anything that I feel like – I mean, maybe before the Seahawks won a Super Bowl, I would have felt differently. But, like, now having experienced a championship – and then somebody else also pointed out Jeff Sullivan's series called The Mariners Win the World Series, which I think he wrote in 2009 – like that talked about like the full experience that just ends with like, oh shit, I still have to live the rest of my life even though my team won a championship. and yeah, there's nothing in me that is worth watching Felix pitch against us in Safeco wearing a Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim uniform. That is the most detestable organization in MLB. I don't give a shit.
Not a title.
Wait. No, 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 no.
Dude, you are insane.
No, I've tasted you know what? Mountaintop. There's better bread out there than a championship.
That would him going to the Angels will not sour what he's done in this organization over the last 12 seasons.
Well,
it will
not for you.
It still exists. Those memories aren't tainted. He'll go to the Angels in the decline of his career and we'll win a World Series and we'll be forever grateful.
I have to root against Felix. I can't.
No, because the Angels suck and it won't be a problem and his arm will fall off then because he'll be an Angel. And
no, see, now I'm not for that either. I can't. I'm going to have to dissent on this and it's fine.
I think I'm with Nathan here, to be honest. You know, especially bringing in the Seahawks example.
Guys,
like that championship, granted, the Seahawks 2012 team was the stupidest football team to ever play.
2014.
What?
Seahawks 2014.
Oh, shit. Yeah, 2014. Oh, my gosh. It's been a while. But anyway, I mean, that Super Bowl has
it's okay.
Won
off. You were 15.
I was 86. That Super Bowl's worn off. It's been two Super Bowls since. It's worn off.
The players are resting with you over the years. The players and the memories. It's not the titles.
I agree. I agree.
But the thing is like, the Mariners win a World Series without Felix. We still have our own set of incredible memories and players from that team.
Mm-hmm.
Jose Lopez.
It won't taint it.
Here's what I would say.
Coming back from Japan.
If the Mariners could win a World Series and then trade Felix to the Angels, I'm all in. Like
that's not the question.
It's not
that
the,
is
question.
The question.
It's
not
the
even
question.
Remotely the question.
Yeah, well, Kyle is a jerk for asking that question because I don't want to think about it.
Hey, shout out, Kyle. I like your style. Trade them all. Trade the entire roster. World Series.
Speaking of trade them all, we had a question come in from Lunchbox.
Shout out Lunchbox Laboratories.
Adam Lind, ? When do you pull the release trigger and give Romero a shot?
Wait, boy, this is... Okay, first of all, that's not an apt comparison because we're talking lefty versus righty there.
Also, one of them is a major league player and the other one is Stefan Romero. Next question.
You are hating ass Stefan Romero, right?
No, he's hating ass Kyle Seager.
No, I'm totally fine with Stefan Romero.
You are lower on Stefan Romero than anybody in the entire world.
I am fine with Stefan Romero. I just spell Stefan with four A's.
and a PH.
Scott, I would also point out that in this age of social media in 2016, I could go on Facebook and find someone lower on Stefan Romero than Nathan Bishop.
It's probably true. There are people with a lot of
Hey, we're gonna take a break. We're gonna find that person. We'll be back.
Bring him on live.
He's the guest. Did we say no guest? We got a guest. We got a
guest. Let's go right. Live to Scott's grandma, who's got some takes.
Old Virginia Weber's gonna weigh in on this one. That is her name. Takes from Yakima.
We should actually have her on at some point. That'd be really fun.
Shout out West Viola Drive.
Ginny Weber.
No, man. All right. There's no. Okay. That's two different questions because Adam Lynn has been absolute dog shit so far this year.
He hasn't been fun.
He's also had, what, four games this year that the Mariners have faced a right-handed starter?
It's been low.
I mean, I think it's four. It could be three.
Has there been a shift in the amount of lefties in the league? Because I swear to God.
Just on the Rangers, who we've played six times. So
triple S.
Yeah.
He hasn't had a chance to settle in. Obviously, nine games in, I'm not throwing in the towel, even remotely, on Adam Lind. He has looked very bad. He's batting 100. Today, he went the other way off a lefty, which felt good.
Why was he playing today?
Well, because we had to save Dejo Lee, because we started against a righty.
Yeah.
And then we had to save Dejo Lee for the walk-off in the 10th. So he got a crucial bat against a lefty.
I'm sorry. Trust the process.
Thank you.
Come on, Dave. Thank you. Get your stuff together. Also, we have thousands of at-bats in the major leagues proving that Adam Lind can hit right-handed pitching.
Oh,
thousands.
Yeah. Except for that 1 year every 7 years where he's horrible.
Well, that's... I mean, we all have that.
Yeah. Well, for Skiba, it's only happened once because he's only had one milestone.
Right.
He's 12.
Right. 2007 was not my friend, I can tell you.
And actually, Adam Lind was, it wasn't even one every 7 years. He was just really shitty for 3 years in the middle of his career.
Hey, it's my prime. I was good before. Now I'm bad. Hey, I'm in my 30s. I'm good again. Weird. Baseball is weird.
Adam Lind has a negative 66 OPS plus right now.
he aspires to the Brad Miller OPS plus. You guys are not. We all agree that it's small sample size with Lind, right? There's no way he has today. He had 17 plate appearances on the year.
He's had no chance to get settled in.
Okay, good. Just making sure. Do we have any other questions?
We have a couple more.
Okay, go ahead.
We've already had a couple. The next one comes in from Chris of @Chris5AM.
Chris 5 is alive.
@Chris5AM.
Yes.
I think that might be over Twitter's character limit.
You get Skiba Scuba Shop in there.
That's true.
The question is, rally caps mildly annoying or the worst?
Well, what variant? Are we talking inside? Are we talking inside out, or are we talking?
That is the only rally cap.
Are we talking shark
inside
fin?
Out?
No, shark fin.
No,
this inside is shark out. Fin is the original rally cap. You don't get it because you're 14. Shark fin
is the original rally cap. I wore that when I was 10, playing little.
You agree? You agree? Yeah.
In 1904, we did the shark.
Well, this is the modern time, and people don't play baseball with mustaches.
Okay, here's the thing. The rally cap is firmly in the do whatever the hell you want as long as it doesn't offend or, get in somebody else's way camp of fandom. You want to wear a rally cap, go crazy. I don't give a shit.
It's only weird if it doesn't work.
Yeah, and even if it's weird, that's actually kind of Seattle, so
I like shark fin. I don't like inside out. I don't like it. Plus, it wrecks your hats.
Yes.
It's true. It's not great for the bill.
David, do you rally cap?
I rally cap in the sense that my entire life has been a rally, and I sometimes wear caps.
I was born down 5-0 in the 7th.
And I'll tell you what, that 8th inning 3-run bomb, that's my life, baby. Let's see how the 9th inning plays.
I've been waiting for that walk-off dinger my whole life, and I don't think it's coming, you guys.
We got a final question from Justine, which I think is a fun one. And you can follow Justine at Steenish1. STEENISH number one.
Okay.
Is that NUN? No, it's the no, actual it's number.
No, it's the number one.
You're going to need to clarify because it's a little confusing.
Both times I've said a number, it has meant like the literal number instead of.
I appreciate that. On to the question.
Would you take one playoff appearance with Felix on the team, followed by another 15-year drought, or 10 more losing seasons, followed by 5 years of playoff appearances?
Who's going first?
Ooh, this one's tricky because the whole point of wanting to be in the playoffs is that the future is unknown and that anything can happen in the playoffs. If you're signing up to a playoff appearance where you know that it's not going to end in a World Series, then what's the point? That's my hot take.
Wow.
I would say that in 10 years, I have no idea if I'll be alive because I'm old enough where that's the kind of thing that I actually have to think about. So just give me my entire – as much as I think that the Mariners winning the World Series or even being in the World Series would be the – peak of my sports fandom as far as my entire life, my realistic one thing, give it to me in the realistic time frame, has been let me go to Safeco Field and watch a playoff game with Felix on the hill at Safeco Field. And I don't care what the context is, I don't care what division, and I don't care what opponent. I just want that. Let me be there in the stadium before the game even starts. Let me see the entire stadium in yellow. Let me have the sunset over the mountains. Let the national audience see that, and we will absolutely wreck the country's shit as far as the kind of atmosphere that we can create. And I know that that is true.
Yeah.
And that's been the whole thing. Like, you just give me that one start. And even if Felix gets bombed, if it's not to be, I mean, God forbid, just give me the lead up to it, you know? Let me have him walk in from the outfield.
Ugh.
And have everybody Tom Hutler? Let him just say, "Now rise for the Supreme Court," or whatever it is. And everybody just goes absolutely bonkers because that's what we'll do. And just thinking about it gives me goosebumps.
And you know that the Mariners would just kill it too.
Oh, yeah.
You're telling me that Greg and Kevin wouldn't just come up with the entire stadium is the Kings Court?
Uh-huh.
Every 45,000 yellow t-shirts?
Yep.
That would happen.
So good. And it
that would be
unbelievable.
Yeah, it will be, and it will happen. Felix Hernandez will pitch a playoff game for the Seattle Mariners, and it will be at home at Safeco Field, and that moment will transcend your entire lifetime. If you're the sort of fan who has bought in for the last 15 years of bad baseball, that game will be absolutely transcendent and the sort of game that you never stop talking about. I mean, we all remember the last start of 2014, and that wasn't even a playoff game. Yep. That was a we win and we go to the playoffs game. Imagine what it will be like to watch the King take the mound in Safeco with those implications.
Yep, I totally agree. I was at the game, the game after his perfect game, where it was the first, I think, Supreme Court, where they just gave everybody a yellow shirt and said, go nuts. And there was just, the man got a standing ovation before he even threw a pitch. He came in from the bullpen, and I swear to God, that is what baseball is. It's that connection. There's no other sport that will give you that, where you can go to a game and before one thing happens, people know what happened before and want to respect the history of it. That is what baseball is, and that is what we would do in a playoff game with Felix on the hill. It would be, like you said, David, it will be the culmination of everything we've waited for, and I just hope that it happens. I don't think we're going to end the show any better way than that. Do you guys have anything else?
I will say right now, that's this year.
Oh, boy.
Let it fly, big fella.
It's this year.
Okay.
Let it rip.
It's 3-6. Deho Lee shall lead us to the promised land.
We're going.
If we're there, I'll be there. And like, I don't know if you guys saw that Deho Lee chant earlier this year. I think it was on Monday.
Deho. Like,
yep.
We'll be doing it 100%, 45,000 of us strong. And it will be noise that America is not used to seeing at a baseball game. They're not ready for what will happen if we get the Mariners into the playoffs with Felix on the hill at Safeco. So that's where we're going to end it. I am very happy you made it through our shorter show. The Mariners have survived. They have not completely blown their first opening homestand. They have an off day tomorrow. We've got some fun stuff planned, and then we are back in New York. Screw the Yankees, second worst team in all of baseball. And thank you so much, David and Scott, for joining us. We will see you guys next week, hopefully with a guest. And until then, Goms and go Biz.
You have the upper hand to open up the door.